See, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Each man will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The mind of the rash will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. No longer will the fool be called noble, nor the scoundrel be highly respected. For the fool speaks folly, his mind is busy with evil. He practices ungodliness and spreads error concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty, and from the thirsty he withholds water. The scoundrel's methods are wicked. He makes up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies, even when the plea of the needy is just. But the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. Andrew.
Good evening. We've been visiting the idea of coming back to something, coming back to school, back to God. And this evening, we're going to come back to the idea of shelter. So this is something that John's preached on a Sunday morning recently, but the text revisits it, so we will too. I know we're not necessarily going through Isaiah book by book, but this is where we are tonight. It's chapter 32. Which follows chapter 31. And that's a fresh insight. Linda Clark just wrote that down. But that describes the downfall of Assyria. And so this chapter, in essence, denotes the grace of God through proper leadership. And so the commentators say this could be messianic, but it most likely refers to King Hezekiah. But my prayer for you tonight is that God will speak to you and that you can take refuge in him, that he will be your shelter. And so tonight I really want to zero in on verses 1 and 2. And so we'll read those and then draw out a few things from that. See, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Each man will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. So tonight I want to draw three things out of this text. So one, what does this remind us about God? And how do we see those things revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ? And three, what does that mean for us today? What does that mean for us in 2017? So the first thing, what do we remember about God? I think one of the key things we remember about God is that God is a shelter. So when we looked at Isaiah chapter 25, the key verse in there was verse 4, that God was a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. And it's important that this idea is repeated, and it's important that it goes a little bit further than that. So that's a place where we touch base. But it's not just repeated in Isaiah. It's repeated through a lot of Scripture as well. So the idea of God as a refuge and a strength, it comes up frequently in the Psalms. Another place where we see this chapter come to relevance in Isaiah is chapter 6. Remember when we talked about the call of Isaiah, and then there was that thing where it was hyper-realistic for Isaiah as a prophet. You know, people aren't going to listen to you. Their eyes are going to be closed to the truth. People aren't going to listen to you. Their ears are going to be stopped up. What does Isaiah 32 say right after our key verses tonight? Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. a thing that we remember about God from this passage is that God does not leave us where we are. He is a shelter. He is a refuge. Come to me, and I will give you comfort. We learn that God is a safe place. God is someone that we can trust. And this is true because of who he is. When Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" he didn't give out a CV. He didn't have a resume and say, "You know, I made a lot of things. I made everything and it was very good." He said, "I am who I am." We can take refuge in God because of who he is. So that's one of the first things that we remember here, is that God is a shelter and God is someone we can trust because of who he is. And then we see the things that God is concerned about. And God is concerned about justice. And God is concerned about righteousness. God is the king who will reign in righteousness. God is the ruler who will rule with justice. And so that's what he's going to provide for these people in their barren land. He's going to provide a new system, a new way of doing things. This is the God who can make things out of nothing. This is the God who can start something new, like a stream in the desert. And so as we begin to look forward to how God might do that in our lives, might start something new, might bring something out of nothing, we see it here first in this passage, that he's going to do that with the reintroduction of righteous living in this barren land. And so the next question we have to ask as we think about this passage in a Christological context is, how do we see this revealed in Jesus Christ? How do we see someone who is a refuge, a shelter, someone who is a provider revealed in Jesus Christ? And I think the answer is glaringly obvious, that Jesus Christ was the physical embodiment of God. He was God in flesh. And so he brought these qualities of God down to earth. And he lived this out in a tangible way that we could see. So we see throughout the gospel accounts Christ providing for the needs of others. We see throughout the gospel accounts Christ comforting people in their distress. And more than that, we see that Christ is ultimately going to provide a shelter for our spiritual problem. Christ is going to provide the shelter from the wrath of God. Christ is going to provide a refuge for us when we are lost in a world of sin. And Christ will then provide a purpose for life. And so Jesus, just like God was the true king, Jesus is also the true king who reigns in righteousness. And he was so concerned about justice that he came to be the sacrifice for sin. Now, a couple of weeks ago, John and Richard and Elaine and I were down at St. Michael's. We weren't looking at jumping ship. We were there to support Father Felix as he was installed as the new vicar in the South, or in whatever our parish is called. Chichester Parish, I'm sorry. But during that service, they sang a communion hymn and spoke about the sacrament as a shelter or as a refuge. And I thought it was really, really nice. So I'd like to read that tonight as we think about how Christ was our refuge from sin. It said, "Sweet sacrament of rest, ark from ocean's roar, within thy shelter blessed, soon may we reach the shore. Save us, for still the tempest raves. Save, lest we sink beneath the waves. Sweet sacrament of rest." As we think about the storms of life, and as we think about our sin that we need refuge from, we see Christ embody that, and then Christ break and give his body for that. So in essence, Christ is our refuge from the storm. And so I thought we might just peek at one person that he displayed that to, as we think about the woman at the well. So in Jesus, we have a righteous ruler who rules justly and provides himself as a shelter from the storm and as a stream of water. And so to the woman at the well, in her desert of isolation, as she was cut off from the community by her sin, what did Jesus offer her in the middle of the day? She's out there all alone, couldn't be seen in public because of her past. He says, I'll give you living water. He says, whoever drinks of the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. You see that here in Isaiah 32. Each man will be like a shelter from the wind, a refuge from the storm. Here it comes. Like streams of water in the desert. Become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So new life happens for us when we encounter Jesus Christ. He is the God who could make something out of nothing, come to earth to make something out of the nothing that we have made our lives. And then there's a purpose that flows out. There's a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So we see that God is our refuge and strength. He is our provider and sustainer. And he does this work through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Christ is our refuge from sin, and he is our strength to overcome. He provides the righteousness and hope. It's nothing we do. He's the shelter. He's the one who provides. He sustains our faith. In our thirsty land, he comes. He comes to bring the wellspring of life. So what does that mean for us here? What does that mean 2017? What does it mean that God is a shelter? That God is a provider. What does it mean that Christ is someone that we can run to? That Christ is someone we can draw from? For people who don't know Jesus Christ personally, it means God is your refuge. Run to him. Take your problems to him. Today is the chance to trust in him. We must begin to look to Christ for salvation. For those of us who are believers, this is a call to a higher standard. This provides practical application for living the Christian life. It says, each man will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm. What does it mean for someone to be a refuge? What does it mean for a person to be a shelter? I would say that It looks very practical. I mean, it looks very simple, and it looks like hospitality. People in this church have been a refuge for me this year. I've lost two grandparents, and because of the situation, haven't been able to fly back for the funeral either time. But people in the church have provided a place for me to grieve or to be sad. People have provided an opportunity to sit in silence, an opportunity to remember happy moments, and a moment to pray together. So that's what refuge looks like for me. People who have been hospitable to me and said, Come out of this storm of grief, or at least weather the storm here. We'll be sad with you. We'll remember good moments with you, and we'll pray together. We will look to God with you, and we'll look to God for you. That's what refuge looks like for people. That's how we can be a shelter. And Paul often described people as giving comfort. So when he commended Philemon for refreshing the hearts of the saints, or when he says, God, who comforts the downcast, comfort us by the coming of Titus. So he draws back on something that he remembers about God. He says, man, I remember that God is someone who comforts the downcast. And then God provided a specific avenue for that. And that specific avenue in his life was the coming of Titus. We think, oh, it's going to end with the coming of Jesus. No, it's the coming of Titus. Titus was the refuge for Paul. He brought Jesus to him. He was the one who refreshed him. And that's not to take anything away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's to say that we are his body and we can share Christ with him. That's what shelter looks like. It is being the body of Christ. It is representing these things we know that are true about God, and we know these things are true about Jesus. And so they should begin to be true about us as we seek to emulate him, as we seek to be more like Christ. We should seek to be a shelter. We should seek to be a refuge. We should seek to be people who refresh others or who give encouragement to others. That is what shelter looks like. It's a place to weather the storm. And so there are a couple of warnings or a couple of things that you don't want to do if you're trying to be a shelter. And he lays that out quite clearly in verses 6 and 7. So let's look there and see what not to do. For the fool speaks folly. His mind is busy with evil. He practices ungodliness and spreads error concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty, and from the thirsty he withholds water. Scoundrel's methods are wicked. He makes up schemes to destroy the poor with lies, even when the plea of the needy is just. We don't want to be like the fool in verses 6 and 7. We don't want to practice evil. We don't want to lie to people about our God and leave them empty. We don't want to misrepresent him. We want to offer living water. There's nothing special about us. We are just the products of an overflow of love from God. God loved us so much that he didn't leave us where we were. He changed something about our condition. And so we have received this beautiful, bountiful gift of God's grace. And then in turn, we give that on to the next person. We pass it along. We become shelter for someone else because we want to be Christ-like, because we want to be like our loving Father who has done so much for them. So we want to offer this living water because it springs up inside of us. We have to pass it out. And so there is a positive way. There is a better way. And that's what it says in verse 8, talking about the noble man. The noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. It sounds like a bit of a poem or a rap even. He's kind of got some rhyme and flow there. But so we want to be like the noble man in verse 8. We want to think about the ways that we can be a refuge. I think that our church is good at providing different outlets for this. There are several different avenues that if you're not connected already, then it'd be easy to connect to one of these avenues to be a shelter and to be a refuge. We've got all this back here. I think that one of the ways we're called to be a refuge in Lansing and something is to give to the food bank and to quite literally provide physical comfort in the form of food and physical shelter in that we provide groceries when people are having to choose, do I pay the heating bill because it's October and we're starting to get colder, or do I buy groceries for my family? One way we can provide shelter, one way that we do provide shelter as a church, is through the food bank. That's a practical thing that we can all do. There are a myriad of opportunities for people who come in and are looking for a refuge from life outside those doors. And when they come in and they join the fellowship on Sunday morning, they join the messy church community or join in with the youth club and activities, and they have this place as an oasis, a place where they can come and know somebody's going to love me, somebody's going to give me a cup of tea and a biscuit and ask how my day was. That's a rare service today, somebody who's hospitable and kind. But this is a place where we do that. This is a place where we are a shelter. When people come in looking for help, they come here because they know that these people have something that's different about them. They have a spring of living water. So two things. One, I want to say well done to you, congregation, for folks involved with that. And two, keep up the good work, because the problems aren't getting any smaller. But the good thing is our hope isn't getting any smaller, too. Our hope only increases as we move forward to glory in Christ. So that's how we become. That's how we become a refuge. That's how we become a shelter. We make up our mind to respond to the love of God and to do something about it. So we've seen tonight that God is a refuge. God is a shelter because of who He is. It's His character. And that we can run to Him. We've seen that His Son, Jesus Christ, came to embody that physically at a time where it cost Him His life. He came to give His life to be our shelter from sin. And so as a response, as a thank you, then in turn we live our lives as a people seeking to offer refuge to other people. We want to live out this verse in our church. And this is how I'll close. Each man will be like a desert, or be like a shelter from the wind, and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert, and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. Dear Lord, we thank You that You are good, and that You are in charge, and that we're not. And we thank You that You are sovereign over everything that happens. And so we say that we trust You, Father. We trust You with the storms of our life. We say thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You sent into our world to be a refuge and to take on our sin problem. And so we say thank You so much for salvation. And then we pray a prayer of gratitude that You allow us to be a part of that work, that You allow us to join in the overflow of love as we give that to other people and say, there is a shelter, there is a better way. Come inside, come meet Jesus. We say thank You for that. And then we pray that You would strengthen us. We know that You are the source, that You are the water that springs up inside of us. And so we pray that You would continue to sustain us, because there's a lot of work left to be done, and we're looking forward to doing it. So we say thank You for so many things, and thank You for being with us tonight. Amen.